meditation this Christmas morning is recorded for us in the first chapter of John's Gospel. I'll read to you the verses of our meditation, verses 1, 2, 14, and then 16 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. From the fullness of His grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who was at the Father's side, has made Him known. This is the word of the Lord. Dear fellow worshipers of the Christ child, have you ever asked and pleaded for a Christmas present, and you eventually got that present, but when you eventually received it, you were disappointed or let down? Your parents warned you about it, but you begged and begged for it, and finally they caved in, and when you got it, you were disappointed. Maybe it was the most popular toy that Christmas season. That was not what it's cracked up to be. Maybe it was a Red Ryder BB gun you end up shooting your eye out. Or maybe it was a pet. Maybe not quite like a dog or a cat, but something like a hamster or a bunny. You begged it and pleaded for it, and you got it. And you thought it was awesome at first. But then you realized that you had to give it food and water every day. You had to make sure it got exercise. You had to clean its cage out. When you wanted a vacation, you had to find someone to take care of it. It became more of a pain. You really wanted it. But eventually you learned that you had no idea what you were asking for. Moses asked for something that he had no idea what he was asking for. And our first lesson for today, he asked to see God in His full glory, to see God's face. Now it is true that Moses did speak to God face to face. But Moses tells us just a few verses before our first lesson takes place that God would come down, God in the pillar of cloud that led the Israelites by day, He would come down and enter into the tent of meeting. And there, with that pillar of cloud, Moses would enter into that tent of meeting and talk to God face to face like a man might talk to his friend. So while Moses did talk to God face to face, he couldn't see God because that cloud enveloped the whole area. He didn't see God in His full glory. So Moses finally begged and pleaded to see God's face, to see His glory. It'd be pretty cool, Moses thought, to see God's glory. Problem is, Moses didn't know what he was asking. Moses was a sinner. And because he was a sinner, he was not able to look at God in His full glory and expect to live. God is holy. Moses was not. Moses was prone to anger. Moses was a murderer. He did not keep all of God's commands perfectly. And because of that, he could not stand before God in His full glory and live. As God told Moses, "You cannot see My face, for no one may see Me and live." Now, for the most part, we think pretty highly of ourselves. We think we're good and smart and noble. We tell ourselves that we can do anything we want to do and be anything we want to be, and that we are the best there ever was, and that we have the right to stand up and be next to anyone. That's one of the many reasons why there's so many people today who rebel against those in authority. It has been instilled in us that we are just as good, if not better than anyone else, and we know better, and we can do better than other people. so we have a tendency to complain about leaders. And that overconfidence in ourselves, that self-righteousness, also plays along with how we view God. We like to tell God what to do. We like to complain about God and what He allows and what He doesn't allow. We like to play God ourselves. Or we think that it's no big deal for us to stand before God because we are so great. Now you may think of John, who with his brother James came to Jesus and asked if they could sit next to Him in heaven. That self-righteous attitude is something we have in each of us. But the fact remains that we are just like Moses. We are no better than Moses. We are no better than anyone else. We're sinners. We rebel against the Lord again and again. We think we have a reason to stand next to Him and stand before Him, but we really don't. Really, our sins separate us from God. Each of one of us really should confess, along with the Apostle Paul, that I am the worst of sinners. And even if you weren't the worst of sinners, even if you were pretty good, if you just sinned once, you're not perfect, you're not holy, you deserve God's wrath and punishment, and you cannot see God in His full glory and live. Moses begged and pleaded to see God's glory. But God refused. And rightfully so. It was really an act of love. But He did allow Moses to catch a glimpse of His back. And that was enough for Moses. He then describes Himself as a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. That He would allow a poor, miserable sinner like Moses and like us just to catch a glimpse of Him. But about 1,500 years later, He gave us much more than a glimpse of His glory. When the Word became flesh. Now, John wrote his gospel years after the other three wrote their gospels. This is kind of a companion gospel. John kind of fills in the gaps. And since Luke and Matthew already talk about the historical account of Jesus' birth, John writes what we just read in our gospel for this morning. A more poetic, beautiful description of the incarnation of how God became flesh. In verse 1, John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, who exactly is the Word? And you notice it's capitalized. Well, John answers that with verse 14. "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us." So the Word is God, and the Word became flesh and lived on this earth. The Word then is obviously Jesus. He is both God and man who came down to heaven to live as one of us. That word that John uses here for dwelling in verse 14 really depicts setting up and living in a tent. A clear reference to how the Lord dwell among His people at the tent of meeting where Moses spoke to Him face to face. So in Jesus, the Lord dwells among us. The Lord tents among us. We go back to verse 1 again. There, that verse is made up of three phrases that tell us about this child. In the beginning was the Word. Reminds us of the beginning verses of the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning. Not just the beginning of creation, but before the beginning of beginning, Jesus was. Because He's eternal. The second phrase, the Word was with God. The Word was near God. The Word was close to God. Indicates that He is separate and distinct from a Father, a different person. And yet the third phrase, and the Word was God, indicates that while they are separate, they are still also the same. They are one. So Jesus is God, just as the Father is God, and the Holy Spirit is God, obviously. So these three phrases tell us that Jesus is eternal, he is distinct and separate from the Father, and yet he is the same as the Father. Why? Because Jesus is God. That is who became flesh and dwelled among us. The eternal, almighty, powerful, holy God was born of a virgin, came down to earth to dwell among us, giving up his eternal glory and honor to take up human flesh. By looking at him, it seemed as if he was just any other normal baby. I mean, just think about that first Christmas night. The glory of the Lord shone around the shepherds. But Jesus' appearance was just like that of any other baby. And yet we know that in Jesus, we see the glory of God. As John wrote, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only. We, as in the apostles, the disciples of Jesus. Even when the Lord hid himself, he still revealed his glory by his perfect knowledge, by his teachings, by his many miracles that he performed, and by his transfiguration on that mountain where John, along with Peter and James, saw a glimpse of his divine glory. Jesus revealed himself truly as the Son of God, as the Word made flesh. Because Moses was a sinner, God had to hide himself from him. But in Christ, the glory of God is revealed even when it was hidden. And it wasn't just the disciples who have seen God's glory in Jesus. We too have seen God's glory. We too see God's glory in the Father through the eyes of faith. Just the fact that God would send his Son to suffer and die to save us sinners reveals his glory. Just the fact that Jesus would give up his life and give up the glories and riches of heaven to save us reveals his glory. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came, the Word became flesh for one reason, and that was to save us. By living a perfect life that we could not. By taking our sins upon himself and suffering the eternal punishment that we deserve, that's what the Word became flesh for. And because of the Word made flesh, we now receive blessing after blessing. We read. But a better translation is grace upon grace. Grace, once again, is the undeserved love that God has for us. The love that we do not deserve that God shows to us. Grace on top of grace. Grace after grace. Grace in place of grace. That is what God gives to us. It is grace that God became man and lived among us. It is grace that he removed the guilt of all our sins and gave us his perfect life. It is grace that he suffered the eternal punishment for our sins and rose from the dead to give us the gift of eternal life. It is grace that we have seen his glory. Moses begged and pleaded like a little ignorant child looking for that perfect gift to see God's glory. But God's answer to him wasn't exactly a no. It was more like a not yet. Soon. John, later on in his first epistle, describes what we'll see in heaven. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Because of the Word made flesh, our sins have been removed and we are made pure and holy in the eyes of the Lord. We don't have to be afraid of standing before him because He has made us perfect in His eyes. And we will see Him as He is in His full glory. That is a glorious and perfect gift that the Lord gives to us through His Holy Son. That gift we'll never regret or get sick of. For it's the gift of eternal life. Amen. Please stand. Now to Him who is able to keep you from falling and present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. You may be seated as we gather our offerings.